Hello, this is Brian Tracy. Welcome to this teleconference on networking. This is one of the most important subjects that you'll ever learn about, and one of the most important subjects for success. In every single study that's been done of successful people, you find that there's a direct relationship between the number of people that you know and the number of people who know you in a positive way and your success in life. It's successful people know lots of other people. Unsuccessful people know very few people. And you'll find that as you move up socially and economically, the people who move up higher and higher and faster just know more people. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how you can start wherever you are. And I've used these techniques moving from a city to a strange city where I knew no one. And within 3 or 4 years, became one of the best known people within the entire area. And I did it accidentally. It was not deliberate. It was only in retrospect I realized that I had done a lot of the right things. And I'll tell you about those as we move along. So what are some of the reasons and benefits of networking? Well, number one, you'll meet more and better people who can help you and who you can help. You'll get more warm calls versus cold calls. Some years ago, I invited a gentleman to speak to my international conference, and they said, "Why are you inviting him? All he wants to do is sell more stuff." And I said, "That's all anybody wants to do is to sell more of their stuff. If you're on this call, you're in business. If you're in business, your entire life, your fortunes, your hopes, your dreams, everything depend upon your ability to sell more stuff. And the key to selling more stuff is to have more warm calls rather than cold calls. Have more warm leads rather than cold leads. Have more people ready to see you and talk to you and welcome you and be open to you when you go to see them than having to start off from scratch. And networking is one of the very best ways to develop a wide screen or fan of people who know you and will buy from you. One of the most important words that we talk about in our seminars for success, and sometimes I ask this question, what is the one word that determines how much you earn and how fast you earn it, how much you sell and how quickly you make sales, how many resales you make, how many referrals you get, how successful you are financially, and your entire standard of living now and for your family and for your whole life? What's the one word? And after I let people think for a while, they say a variety of things. I say the answer is credibility. Credibility is everything. Credibility, believability, trust. People know you and like you and believe in you. And there is nothing that expands your credibility faster than for you to network on a regular basis. What we know is that when people have seen your face and shaken your hand and spoken to you, they are 10 times more likely to hire you, to buy from you, to recommend you to their friends, to introduce you to others, and so on. Give you a quick story. I was in Dublin, Ireland, and I was speaking at a large conference, and my distributors there, who do training all over the country, wanted to get this top executive, head of Procter & Gamble for Ireland. They had something like 2,000 employees. They wanted to get him to come to this conference, but he couldn't come. However, he could come at lunch, and he could come only for a few minutes because he was between meetings. So he came to this conference, which is in a conference center just outside of Dublin, and he came in, and they told me he'd be there. And at the lunchtime, I met with him, and I spoke to him for about 5 minutes, and we got along really well. And then he had to go, and I had to go. For the next 5 years, we did business with that company. And you know what the president of the company said? He said, "I know the man. Yeah, I know the man. I've met him personally. I know the man. We can use his stuff." 5 minutes of face-to-face meeting and conversation led to 2 or 3 years of business and many tens of thousands of dollars or pounds. So sometimes a single meeting can make an enormous difference. Now, you'll get more and better referrals when you network. People like to refer people to people that they know. Even if they only know you once, someone says, "You know, I'm thinking of getting a television, a car, buying a home. I need a lawyer. Oh, I know someone. Just met them the other night. Might be of interest to you." Sometimes a single introduction, a single handshake can open a door for you that will lead to business that you will do for 10 or 20 years. Here's another benefit of networking is you'll get better jobs at higher pay. It's absolutely amazing how many people are selected for jobs simply because they knew someone or someone that they knew you and had met you at some function. And they say, "I'm looking for somebody to do this and to do that. We've just had a resignation or dismissal of some kind. Oh, I know somebody who's in that field." And you know how employers hire people for new jobs? They pay them more money. Not only that, if you come well recommended, not only can you start off in a better position, but very often you move into the inner circle faster and you get promoted more rapidly. Especially, the benefit of networking is you become more important and influential. People who know that you know people recognize and appreciate you. As a matter of fact, some of the most respected people in any society are the people that people know have contacts. Oh, that person's well connected. That person knows a lot of people. That person belongs to this organization or association. Just the very fact that you know people causes people to respect you a lot. Now, there's a law that we call the law of probabilities. And the law of probabilities says that there is a probability that anything can happen. And these probabilities can be calculated with great accuracy. In other words, there's a probability that you will meet the right person at the right time who will have the right idea or open the right door for you. The law of probability says that you cannot select which exact person it will be at which exact time, but if you know a lot of people, you can dramatically increase the likelihood that you will be the right person at the right time. In physics, they call this the uncertainty principle. Is we know that of 100 people you meet, there may be 2 or 3 people in that 100 people who can help you and save you 5 years of hard work, can buy your entire year's output, can promote you and put you in a job that will save you years of working somewhere else. But we don't know which person it is or which people they are out of the 100. So the uncertainty principle says we can predict with some accuracy that there are a number of people out there, but we cannot predict with any accuracy exactly which one it will be. So if you combine these two principles, the law of probabilities, probability everything can happen, and the uncertainty principle, we don't know which event it will be, then networking says the greater number of people that you meet, the greater is the probability you will meet the right person at the right time. You can dramatically reduce the uncertainty that goes with most human life by meeting more and more people. The more people you meet and talk to, the more people you know and who know you, the more people you can bounce ideas off of, the more people that you can ask for advice from, the more contacts you have, the greater and the faster will be your success in every part of life. So just remember, it's all a matter of numbers. It's law of averages. Your job is to focus on the quality of the people you meet as well as the quantity. But never forget the quantity. The quantity is really important. Now, here's a rule. You are always networking. Everywhere you go, in every interpersonal contact, whether you're talking to the person next to you when you're filling your car with gasoline, whether you're sitting in a restaurant and someone is sitting next to you at the next table, whether you're standing waiting for a bus, or whether you're at a social function, whenever you have interpersonal contact, you're networking. The only question is, how good are you at networking? I have friends who are very gregarious, and I may be like you. I'm not really gregarious. I don't run around shaking everybody's hand. But they will go to a function that they've never been to before, and afterwards, they will know 25 people. They just have a natural ability to just go around saying hello to people, greeting them, meeting them, shaking hands with them, talking to them, and so on. Whereas you and I may have gone there, and we may have met 2 or 3. By the way, as we talk about networking, one of the rules is this. If you go to a meeting or a gathering of any kind, break up. Don't go and spend the entire evening with the person that you went with, or the entire gathering with the person that you're with. If you want to expand your contacts, shake yourself up a little bit. Sit with people that you don't know. Talk to people you don't know. Join groups with people you don't know. Resist the natural tendency that human beings have, which often leads to underachievement and failure, which is to get into a comfort zone, to seek a comfort zone, to look for a familiar face, to sit only with that person the whole time, talk only to that person the whole time. And it may be someone that you like because it's comfortable, but it may be someone who cannot help you at all in terms of networking. So be alert to spreading yourself around as much as possible. Nathaniel Brandon, the psychologist who wrote The Psychology of Self-Esteem, was interviewed recently, and he was asked this question. He said, if you could give one piece of advice to people to be more successful in every part of life, what one piece of advice would it be? And after thinking about it, he said, the most important advice I would give is to be more conscious. And the interviewer asked him, well, what does that mean? It says, instead of going through life sort of blindly, be more conscious, be more alert. be more aware. He said, be more sensitive of the people around you. And I think in networking, that's really important. Sometimes we're so preoccupied with ourselves or with one person that we're talking to, we're not aware, we're not sensitive to the fact that a person standing next to us may be the president of a major bank. The person sitting across from us may be working for a large corporation that you wanted to get in contact with. Is we're not paying close enough attention. So when you network, kind of slow down your mind a little bit and be very alert to the people in the room, almost like you were a trained professional spy and you're trying to get a read on the people in the room. And then look at the people and see who are the powerful people. Who are the people that everyone comes to? Who are the people that seem to attract other people to them? Who are the most important people in the organization? And instead of sort of closing your mental eyes, be more conscious, be more aware. Now, there's two types of networking. We'll call it simple networking and complex networking. Simple networking is very simple. This is where you bump into people on a casual basis. You bump into them in elevators. You bump into them waiting for a taxi. You bump into them in line to get something to eat. You run into people all the time. And in simple networking, one of the things you do is you look for something that you may have in common. It's a very simple thing. For example, you see that a person is carrying a book. I'll do this all the time. And I'm not a big backslapper or handshaker, but I'll see somebody reading a book on an airplane or in a waiting room, and I'll say, how's that book? Is it a good book? And the person will say, yes, no, maybe. You say, you know, I haven't read that book, but I did read about it, and I've seen it on the bookstands, and would you recommend it? And very often, this will lead to a conversation. And very often, you'll find that people who read books are more intelligent, they're better informed, they're maybe more important in their organization, and sometimes it can lead to the most remarkable meetings. I was sitting on an airplane, and I got there late. I got bumped from first class. I was sitting in a center seat in the middle of the plane and started a conversation with a gentleman next to me. It turned out this gentleman was one of the most prestigious executives in his field, and he'd been bumped as well. In the United States, he'd been written up in Forbes, Fortune, Wall Street Journal, and Business Week. He's a New York Times best-selling author. He's a multimillionaire, one of the most respected people in America in Fortune 1000 corporations. We had a four-hour flight from San Diego to Chicago, and we just spoke the whole time about different experiences we had, different ideas, and so on. That person has become a good friend of mine for year after year. We've done things together. We've worked together. I've opened doors for him. He's opened doors for me. It was the most remarkable darn thing, just sitting next to a person and noticing that they're reading a book and commenting on the book. Another thing, a person could be carrying a shopping bag that has the name of a store on it. You say, oh, is that a good store to shop at? Or you could be in the elevator and you say, boy, these are certainly slow elevators. The elevators in such and such a building are much faster than this. And you could start talking about elevators in different buildings and why you go into different buildings and who you call on and so on. In other words, just look for something that you have in common. Introduce yourself and make an observation. Be alert. Be sensitive. Be aware. Now, in complex networking, which is really what we're going to talk about, the rule is fish where the fish are. If you want to meet people who can help you, who can open doors for you, go to where those people are. It's absolutely amazing how many people, especially early in their career, they go to work and they go home at night and watch television, or they go and socialize with their friends, or they go drinking, or they go to ball games and things like that. Whereas really smart people, what they do is when they're young and they're on their way up, what they do is they take every single opportunity to meet people. I met a businessman once who started with nothing, came to a new city, had no money. He had one rule, and he told me this rule. I met him networking. He said his rule was that he would take every opportunity to attend every meeting and every function that he could possibly find or be invited to. So if somebody invited him to attend a Rotary meeting or a Lions Club meeting or a Chamber of Commerce meeting or come to a business social after work, he went to every single meeting. And he never missed a meeting. He was spending 4 or 5 days each week. He would go to meetings of some kind. He joined clubs. He joined associations. He literally got himself out there. Within a matter of 1 or 2 years, he was doing well. He had been hired, promoted again. He had a high position. He had a beautiful car. He was quoted in the newspaper on a regular basis. He was respected within organizations. He basically had become a player within his community. And he said the secret was just accept every invitation you get to socialize with as many people as you possibly can. And this is what you do when you're on the way up. It's almost like you're pulling yourself up with a rope. You have to keep pulling yourself up by getting out there and getting known to more and more people. And again, sometimes people think, well, I'm not a big extroverted personality. I'm not an outgoing person. Here's an interesting point. I wrote a book, as you know, called The Power of Charm. And in The Power of Charm, we find that the most effective people in every social situation are charming people. And charming people are very easygoing and relaxed. They're not loud. They're not outspoken. They're very easygoing. They're very relaxed. They're kind of friendly people. They're nice to people that they're around. And as a result, those people want to help them. And I'm going to give you some keys on how to be more charming in every networking situation a little bit later in our talk. So the starting point of networking, and anybody can do this at any time, is to join organizations. And join organization with members who can help you and who you can help in return. Now, this is really important, and I'll tell you why. Many people join their trade associations, whether it's real estate, and like I belong to the National Speakers Association. Wonderful organization. Speakers get together 2-4 times a year and have wonderful talks, wonderful seminars, wonderful conferences. But there's nobody there who can book anybody who's there. And so they all think, well, by all getting together, we will sort of increase the size of the business. But no, because everyone there is looking for opportunities to speak. No one is there looking for someone to hire for a speaking engagement. So therefore, if you're going to join business associations, join associations. Of course, join your own association to keep current with your field. But join organizations and associations that have people in them who can be your customers. Have people in them who are the kind of people that you would like to know and you would like to get to know you. So the rule is, instead of doing what the young guy did that I just told you about, what you should do is select only one or two organizations. If you're going to do a good job of networking professionally, you don't have the time to join a whole bunch of organizations. So you select only one or two. You take a look at the organizations and associations in the yellow pages, which will really open your eyes to how many there are. And you go through them and you say, now, which of these associations is likely to contain the kind of people that I would like to be associated with? Some years ago, give you an example, I was brand new in town. I didn't know anybody. And I decided I wanted to meet members of the business community. So where do you find members of the business community? The Chamber of Commerce. So I joined the Chamber of Commerce. I had started my own company by myself out of my apartment. So I joined up. I paid a minimum amount because I had a small company. And I began to attend Chamber of Commerce meetings. Now, who do you think attends the Chamber of Commerce meetings? Well, it's usually business people and very often senior business people. And so I did everything that I'm going to talk to you about doing now when I joined the Chamber of Commerce, and it literally transformed my life. My life is never the same since then. I'll explain to you in a little while what that means. So I selected the Chamber of Commerce, and I joined other organizations as well, but the Chamber of Commerce became my focus. Then what you do, once you've decided on an organization, call them up and say you'd like to attend a meeting. What you're doing now is you're doing kind of the interview and selection process. You don't just rush in and join the organization. You kind of check it out first. You do your due diligence, if you like. So attend the meeting and always, always get there early. This is a big mistake. Most people who attend meetings or join organizations only go at the last minute. They attend the lunch and the dinner at the meeting and they leave immediately. But this is not for you. What you do is you go early and you introduce yourself to some of the organizers and some of the people who arrive early. If you're there 30 or 15 minutes early, you get a chance to meet people, talk to them, ask them questions, ask what they do, because there's very few people around. Sometimes by going early, you'll meet one person, you'll end up sitting breakfast or lunch with that person, conversing with that person, doing business with that person, because you had the time. So you've got to give yourself the time. And then determine whether or not this person and the people that you meet are the kind of people you'd like to be associated with. I remember once when I was moving up quickly in an organization, I needed to meet senior people. So I joined an organization, and it was a nice sort of business community organization, but virtually everybody who worked there was a middle manager. They were not customers, they were not buyers, they were not decision makers, they were just really nice steady eddies, as we call them. And I quickly concluded that even if I became very successful in this organization, there was nobody in here that could actually buy or green light anything that I was selling, so I passed on the organization. Introduce yourself to others, walk around, tell them who you are, shake hands with them, and ask them about themselves. A big mistake that people make when they think about networking, they think about going out and shaking people's hands and pressing their business cards into their hands and telling them what they sell and finding out if they need what they sell and encouraging them, call me if you need what I sell. But this is not the way it works. This is junior networking. This is amateur networking. Professional networking takes a broader viewpoint. It's kind of a long-term process. What you do instead of talking about yourself, you ask them about themselves. Oh, how long have you been a member of this organization? Are you from this town or did you move here? What kind of company do you work for? Do you have a family? Do you have children? In other words, whenever you talk to people, talk to them about themselves and their personal lives before you talk about their business. And there's good reasons for this, which I'll come to in a second. We say be a go-giver rather than a go-getter. A go-giver is a person who looks for a way to give to others. A go-getter is a person who looks at someone like a piece of meat and sees how much they can tear out of it. Now, there's been some interesting psychological studies recently about two types of people in our society. One type of people looks at other people for what they can get from them, and that's all. That's all they see. And they don't even see the person. They only see what they can get from this person, how they can benefit, how they can use this person, what advantage there is. And the other type of person, the person who is most successful in the long term, looks at people as individuals and is more concerned with who they are and what they do and their personality and their temperament, getting to know them. And if something comes of that, well, then that's great. In Hollywood, and my daughter works near Hollywood, in Hollywood, it's absolutely terrible. They say it's the worst city in the world for this, is people will meet you socially, and if they're successful in Hollywood, they're very charming, very nice, warm, genial, smiling, charming, laughing, make you feel very, very good, and they'll ask you little questions about yourself. As soon as they determine that you can't help them get a part or get money, they just walk away. They don't even say goodbye. They just immediately, in the middle of a conversation, they say, it dawns on them, you can't help them, just walk away, and never come back. A minute ago, you were the best of friends, and now they're gone. Because they only see people as almost like tools that they can use to get something for themselves. Don't ever let this happen to you, and don't ever let people think that this is the kind of person you are. You know, the worst thing that people can say about a person is he or she's only out for themselves. He's only looking for themselves, only looking for their own personal advantage. Watch that person. They only think about themselves. Whenever you hear that, you've got to be real, real sensitive. So we know that everybody has two fears in life. All Americans have two fears. Most people in the world. The first fear is the fear of being hustled. Now, why do we have that fear? It's because we've been hustled. We've been manipulated. We've been fast-talked into things at a younger age. And as a result, we don't ever want it to happen again. And the second fear we have is the fear of being taken advantage of, the fear of being used, the fear of being sold something we don't want, or the fear of being put in an embarrassing or difficult position. Everybody you meet, including yourself, has those two fears, the fear of being hustled, the fear of being taken advantage of. Your job is to make it very clear they have nothing to fear from you. And that's why when you meet new people, when you're networking, you make no effort to sell, no effort to hustle, no effort to take advantage of people. You practice what is called the law of indirect effort. You sell by not selling. Some years ago, a friend of mine invited me to a barbecue at his home. And at his home in the barbecue, dressed very casually, family, kids, everything else, was a gentleman who was a financial planner, ran a very successful financial planning practice. And I met him, we talked, spoke. There was not a single talk about business. We just talked about family, friends, health, future, people we knew, and so on and so forth. About 2 years later, when the stock market started to take off in the 90s, I realized that I could use a financial planner, and I called my friend, whose home I'd been to. I got his name and address, the financial planners, and I invested more than $2 million with him. He never made an effort to sell in all the time I dealt with him. He just made the effort to try to get to know me and to make contact with me as a person. And as a result, I felt so comfortable with him, I went ahead and turned all my financial planning over to him. I can assure you it's probably very successful. So the way you sell is by not selling. The way you sell, which will surprise people, is don't make any attempt to sell at all. Just simply concentrate on getting to know about the person and what they do and what they think about and what their opinions and ideas are and so on. Now, here's one of the most important things you can do in networking. Ask people about their business. People who work in business are fascinated with their own business. They think about it all the time. They wake up and think about it all day long. And so it's like a person's children or a person's spouse. When you ask them about their business, people love to talk about their business. And so what you do is you ask them what kind of business they're in. What sort of work do they do? And then you say, well, what kind of customers do you have? What kind of people, you know, buy your products and services? Can you describe them? And then you say, you know, I know a lot of people. I call on a lot of people. I know a lot of people. tell me what I would have to know about a person to send them to you as a potential customer. Now, this is one of the greatest networking questions that you can ask. Describe to me your ideal customer, and let me think if I know anybody who fits that description. People you're talking to love to talk about their customers. They love to describe them. And you say, well, how old would they be? And what sort of life situation, what kind of lifestyle, what kind of income, education, and so on? And you have them describe their perfect customer. And you're just fascinated by learning about the customers of this person. Then, as fast as you possibly can, this is the key, send them a customer. If you can't send them a customer, send them a lead. Get their business card and say, let me think of anybody I know who might be a good customer for you. And as fast as you can. Now, I've done this for years and years and years. Sometimes it turns into business, sometimes it doesn't. But one thing it always does is it causes that person to really like you and to really trust you. It is one of the most powerful ways to build a bond between two people in networking is for you to try to generate some business for them. Sometimes you can buy from them. Sometimes you have friends who can buy from them. But when you send them a customer or become a customer yourself, you create a bond that can last you all your life. Ask them for their business card and then make a note on the back. Never trust to memory when you're in a networking situation because no matter how smart you are, you forget names, you forget facts. So take their business card and then write on the back of it exactly what you promised to do. Write on the back a critical note so that will remind you of something. Here's another point. When somebody gives you a business card, if you've ever been to Asia, you find that the custom in Asia is when a person gives you a business card, you take the business card with both hands and you hold it and you look at it as though you have just been given something precious because it is precious to the Asian gentleman or the woman, is they consider this to be a symbol of themselves, their name, their company, their reputation, their hopes, their dreams, their family. So what we do in America is a person gives us a business card, we glance at it and stick it in our pocket or purse. What they do in Asia is they take the business card and they hold it in their hands with their two fingers and thumbs and they study the business card as though it's absolutely incredible, as though it has a picture on it that is stunningly beautiful. They look at the business card and they look at the person who gave them the business card and then back to the business card. They say, thank you very much. And they hold the business card in their hand. If they're sitting down at a desk, they put the business card in front of them so that they can see it. Only later do they put it away. Now, what this does is it really flatters the other person. So when a person gives you their business card, take a look at the business card and look at it and read it and read the company name and say, oh, that is a good company. I've heard of that company. Always praise a person's company. Or that is a great industry. I understand that industry is doing very well. And then look at the business card. Sometimes you can repeat the name, especially if the name has a funny spelling or a funny pronunciation. But just by giving that little tiny extra touch to the business card before you write something on the back, before you put it away, people will remember that for a long time because nobody does it. Then, when you get home that very day, or as soon as you can, write them a note. What I have had made is a bunch of cards with envelopes. And the card just is a card with my name and address on it. It's a blank white card and a single envelope. And I will get home and I will write, Dear Bill, it was a real pleasure meeting you at the meeting today. And I hope we get a chance to cross paths again in the future. And sometimes I'll say, if I can be of any service to you, please call me. I'll enclose my business card. I'll hand address the letter, usually square rather than envelope size, a number 9 envelope. And I'll mail it. I'll write personal on the outside and I'll put a postage stamp on the corner. Now, this is a very important thing, is when you're going to send a letter to someone, especially a thank you letter, a nice to meet you card or something like that, always use a stamp. Never put it through a franking machine. When you put it through a franking machine, it looks like clever direct mail. It looks sort of insincere. It looks like you're trying to save a couple of cents by having the company pay for the postage. So instead, what you do is you put a stamp on it and you hand address it and you send it off. And it's absolutely amazing how people will remember that. They'll hold on to it. They'll show it to someone else. But what you'll do is you will register, you will imprint your name, and they'll cause them to remember you again. They will visually recollect your face. And then the next time you see them, say, I got your card. Thank you very much. And you've taken the next step forward to getting to know this person and getting this person to know you. We say that you should practice what we call seeding throughout your business life. You know that there are some plants or trees that when you plant the seed, it takes them years to grow and to bear fruit. And what you need to do is think of seeding. Many people are very short in their thinking. They think only of immediate advantage. But superior people think of 5 years. What I'll do is I'll meet this person. I will make a note. I will write them a quick card. I will see them again, introduce myself to them, talk to them, chat to them. Make no effort to sell my products or services. Just get to know them so that they know me and they like me and I like them. And then what will happen is a week, a month, a year, sometimes a couple of years will pass and the seeds will come to life. The seeds will sprout. The person will think of you and will need you, will open a door for you and introduce you to someone that may save you years of hard work. It may even make your whole life. Now, once you've joined an organization, what you do is you look at the committee rosters. This is the strategy. You look at the committee rosters and you see who is on these committees. Remember, they're all volunteers. And you look at the kind of people that you would like to meet. And be selfish. Also ask yourself and ask people, what are the most important committees in this organization? What are the committees that carry the most weight? When I joined the Chamber of Commerce, the committee that carried the most weight was the Government Business Committee. So I joined the Government Business Committee. The other committee that carried the most weight was the Education Committee. So I joined the Education Committee because the Education Committee had a complete program to make recommendations for the improvement of education in the state. The Business Government Committee continually met with the top government officials, including the governor of the state, to talk about business matters and how the government could make it easier for business. So I joined both of those committees. And who do you think was on those committees? Some of the most important people in the entire state. So once you join the committees, you attend the meetings. You, again, in this smaller networking venue, you introduce yourself to each person. You get to know them. Memorize their names before you go to the meeting. So when you meet them, you can put the name to the face and you'll be much more likely to remember them later. When you sit next to people, ask them about themselves. And here's the key. Weak people are always looking for what they can get. Strong people are always looking for what they can give. So what you do is, as the conversation goes along, instead of trying to dominate the conversation, merely ask questions. When you sit in a committee meeting, sit as close to the chairman as possible. Sit close to the powerful people and ask questions. And then, as will always happen, recommendations will be made of things that the committee should do. Get information, make reports, hold meetings, and so on. This is where you come in, is you always volunteer. Raise your hand and volunteer for responsibility on this committee. There's no pay involved, but what happens is everybody notices. All the key people notice the active members of a committee. Because here's the rule. 20% of the committee members do 80% of the work. And everybody knows who they are. Not only that, they talk about the key people to other key people in the organization. They talk about the key people back in their business. You get a chance to actually perform, to be seen, to be known, and to be respected in front of all of these people by simply volunteering for a task. Now, once you get a task, imagine that you're being paid an incredible financial bonus for doing this task, so you do it quickly. Because there's nothing that impresses people more than for you to come back to the meeting and you did what you said you would do, and you've got the reports and you've got the information, you've got copies for everybody. There's nothing that makes a committee chair more exasperated than for someone to volunteer to do something and at the next committee meeting they haven't gotten to it, or they did a poor job or something else. So develop the reputation for when you volunteer for something, you do it quickly and well. This will bring you to the attention of key people who can help you, who can open doors for you, who can buy your products, and who can refer you to others. And it brings you to the attention of these people in a completely non-threatening way. Always do what you say you will do. Always keep your word. Someone once said that the most important ability in business is dependability. So when you promise or offer to do something, always be dependable. Make sure that people can take you to the bank. So what will happen is the word will go out in this organization. If you want something done, give it to him or her. Ask him or her to help you. If you have an important committee or an important project, see if you can't get him or her on your committee, because he or she will really do a good job. It is amazing what a difference that makes in a world that is largely full of people who are not consistent and not dependable. The other thing is that when you work and you do things quickly and well, people respect you more. And not only that, they like you more. They consider you to be the kind of person that they want to know more. They consider you to be the kind of person that they're open to buying from and that they're open to referring to other people. is when you really perform well on a committee in an association with the kind of people you want to meet, your star rises very rapidly because most people who join the organization just attend the meetings and go home. The rule is that people like to buy from people they know. People like to refer people they know. People like to hire people they know. People like to recommend people they know. And by volunteering and doing well on a committee, in a business, or any kind of association, what happens is people start to know you and like you in a very positive way. And last point is always be punctual. This is a small thing, but it's noticed by everybody. It's sort of like an ink mark on your nose. Is when you're punctual, when you're there prior to the meeting, you're ready and you're ready to go, you've got all your materials. Because most people drift in, they're late, they got stuck in traffic, they've got an excuse. When you're always punctual, you never say anything about it, they always recognize it. I would also say this, is people don't understand it as well as they should, but the way that you dress is very important. The way that you dress says two things. It says, first of all, what you think about yourself, whether you have a high or low regard for yourself. Many people who've come from poor backgrounds, as most of us have, when they become successful, they do something quite remarkable. They dress like bums. They think like, remember the Silicon Valley, the high-tech companies where multimillionaires with high-tech IPOs would come to work in flip-flops and torn jeans and undershirts? It was sort of like a spit in the eye of society by dressing like a bum. However, the people that you want to impress are very aware of the way you dress. They're very aware of your clothes. And when you come dressed nicely, it doesn't mean you have to wear a tuxedo. When you come dressed nicely for a committee meeting or even a general meeting, what it means is that you respect yourself and that you have a positive self-image. You have high self-esteem. You are together as a person. You've got your act together. And it also says that you respect them. And especially, you respect the chairman. Now, the chairman may come in casually, but if this person is, you know, the head of a large organization, the chairman of a committee, well, maybe he or she can dress a little bit more casually. But when you dress well to come to a meeting, people recognize that you've dressed well to come to their meeting. And it's almost like you've dressed well to come to their home or to a meeting with them in their business. So take a little bit of time to understand how to dress properly, and when in doubt, dress up, dress a little bit better. Now, here are some basic networking protocols. First of all, always carry sufficient business cards with you, but only give out business cards when they're asked. Don't walk around like a card dealer in Las Vegas dealing out cards to everybody. Carry cards where they're convenient. Sometimes if it's a man, carry it in your jacket pocket. If it's a woman, carry it in the outside of your purse. And be prepared to offer the card if somebody says, "May I have your card?" You say, "Absolutely," but always ask for their card. Always ask for their card. The person who gets the card first has the power in the conversation. And once you get the card, do what we said. Look at the card, make a note on the back of the card, send the person a note as quickly as you possibly can after you've taken the card home and so on. What I do, because I've written a variety of books, what I will do is I will always send a book to a person whose business card I get, or I'll send an email, or I'll send a CD of some kind. I'll always send them something that I think would be helpful to them in their particular line of work based on our conversation. And I can tell you, sometimes I've done this and nothing has happened for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then I run into the person at a national meeting and the person said, "I remember this, aren't you the one who sent me that letter about 3 years ago?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I still remember that." He said, "I'm sorry I didn't get back to you, but I do remember the letter." And that turned into a relationship that has lasted for 20 years. So does it happen? Yes, because you plant the seeds. You plant the seeds. Very important. And always ask them about themselves and their personal lives before you ask about their business. Remember, people are afraid of being manipulated. People are afraid of being hustled. People are afraid of being taken advantage of. So what you do is ask them about themselves. You just want to know them as a person. Now, here's the next part of networking, which has made so many people rich and successful, it's almost embarrassing. And it is the development of mastermind groups, mastermind organizations. Napoleon Hill, in his wonderful work, Think and Grow Rich, found that every single person of the 500 extremely wealthy people, all of whom started with nothing that he interviewed, had gotten there after they began to mastermind or to meet on a regular basis with other people at their same level. They would meet and talk, they would socialize, they would share ideas, They would open doors for each other. And these people would struggle for years on their own, and then someone would scoop them in to a mastermind with other successful people, and their lives literally took off after that. So mastermind groups are something that you cannot leave to chance. You don't say, well, you know, if it comes along, I'll join it. No, you take the initiative. One of the marks of superior people is that they always take the initiative. When you take the initiative, you control the action. It's like the person who puts the money in the jukebox controls the tune. The person who takes the initiative is always recognized by other people as the kind of person who takes initiative. So what you do is remember that one idea that you can get in one meeting can change your life or career. One person that gives you one piece of input as a result of a discussion in a mastermind meeting can open your eyes and send you in a completely different direction. So here's the key. A mastermind can be anywhere from two people up. The critical thing about a mastermind is that everybody in the mastermind is in harmony with the others. You cannot have a negative or contentious person. If you do, drop them as quickly as possible. The first mastermind that you form, the first and best mastermind, is an ideal marriage. Ideal marriage between a man and a woman who are really happy with each other. They just have all kinds of ideas that can enrich their lives together and can enrich their business and their work lives as well. The next kind of masterminds are the people that you associate with in business, the people in your career, people in your field. Here's a very important point. Only mastermind with people who have something to offer. And you ask yourself this question, very good question. Would I like my children to work under this person? This is the kind of person that I admire so much that I would like my children to use him or her as a role model. It's kind of a test question I learned from Peter Drucker. And if you say, well, no, then it means it's probably not a good person for you to mastermind with. You always want to mastermind with people that you like and enjoy and respect and that you look up to, that you feel have something valuable to contribute. A friend of mine who came through my coaching program recently after this discussion about masterminding went back home to his home in Cincinnati. And he just picked three people out of the phone book, three people that he had heard about, he'd read about, and he called them up. He said, I have my own business. You're the head of your business. Would you be interested in joining a breakfast mastermind with me? I'm going to invite two or three other people. We'll just get together and have breakfast and just, you know, talk shop. All three accepted immediately. He had never met them before. All three accepted immediately. They met at a Denny's at 7 o'clock. They chatted for an hour, hour and a half. Everybody got along really well. He began doing that every single week. And they began to open doors for each other. They began to get to know each other's friends and families and so on. He said that the most amazing thing to him was that when you invite people to join a mastermind, everybody just sort of leaps at it. It's almost like a life raft because nobody does masterminds. And everybody knows how important it is to get together and swap yarns with people. Now, the ideal number of people in a mastermind is about four. So therefore, always aim to have about five because you'll always have 20% dropout. It's the way the world works. So therefore, pick about five people and ask them if they'd like to join a mastermind and get together for breakfast or lunch once a week. And you can have either a structured mastermind or what is called a free-flow mastermind. Now, in a free-flow mastermind, everybody just gets together and talks about whatever comes up. And if you have picked the right people, the conversation will just go round and round and round because everybody's got a lot to say. A structured mastermind can be a little bit different. You can pick a subject and have a specific subject like how are increasing interest rates affecting business today and tomorrow? And everybody can just talk about how interest rates are affecting business. Then they'll talk about how business is changing. Then they'll talk about customers. In other words, you can start off with a question that's kind of like what we call a thought starter. It kind of starts thinking. I was once invited to join a mastermind some years ago, and I never will forget it. This very successful dermatologist who started his practice at 7 in the morning so people could come to him and be treated and get to work without missing any time at work, would have his mastermind at 5:30. And it was the most amazing darn thing. I never forgot this. And they would invite people who were different from any other trade or profession. So nobody in there was in the same business. And the rule was that they would pick a book once a week, and they would buy copies of the book, and they'd be handed out at each mastermind meeting. And each person's goal or job was to read that book. It was a book on some kind of success or communication or negotiation or relationships. It didn't matter. And once a week, they read the book, and one person was assigned the responsibility of reviewing the book for the group. So you arrived at the meeting at 5:30. Nobody arrived late. It was the most amazing darn thing. And the person in charge took over the responsibility and reviewed the book and said, this is what I found were the most important parts in the book. And then they would go around the room and each person would comment on what they thought was the most important part and what they learned from it and what they got from it and so on. And those meetings were like electricity. Everybody was talking. Everybody was happy. Everybody was positive. And at 5 minutes, 10 minutes to seven, doctor would say, well, got to start my practice. Everybody get up and go to work. Well, I'll tell you, the most interesting thing was you're tracking that mastermind for the next couple of years. The sales, business, profits of every single one of those people doubled, tripled, quadrupled. People were crawling over broken glass to get into that mastermind. Eventually, they had to form a second mastermind and then a third mastermind. And then people began to form masterminds around the city based on that mastermind concept. So that's the idea of a structured mastermind. But it doesn't really matter. The most important thing is that you get three or four people together, maybe five, and they get together in a spirit of harmony, and they just talk and just share ideas and just talk about what's going on in their lives, what's going on in their work, and so on. And what will come out of those meetings is unbelievable, especially if you have people with different experiences, different backgrounds, facing different business situations, different problems. Sometimes a person will come up and say, I've got this problem or difficulty with a person, a customer, a bank, and so on. And someone else will say, you know, you could do this or you could do that because I had that experience as well. And they say, oh my, it'll be absolutely priceless. So resolve, if you do nothing except two things as a result of this, is pick one organization that you're going to join and then pick a committee on that organization that you're going to get active in. And second of all is decide to form a mastermind. Pick three or four people that you like and respect, admire, look up to. And even if you don't know them, call them up and ask them if they'd like to join. The only thing they can say is no. Now, the key to networking is summarized in one word, and the word is contribution. Everybody thinks of what they can get, but only superior people think of what they can contribute. So when you form a mastermind or when you network with other people, even if it's a single person, say to yourself, how can I contribute something to this person or to this group? What can I contribute with my background, my knowledge, my experience, and so on? What kind of special contribution can I give? And you always have something, some special knowledge or skill or contact that you have that makes you different and unique and special in the whole world. So here are the keys to contributing. The overall key, what we call the umbrella, and I talked about being charming, is to make other people feel important. The way that you become a powerful person in your life and in your world is when you're with other people, make them feel important and valuable. Instead of being concerned about yourself and what they're thinking about you, be concerned about them and making them feel good about themselves. And there are six keys to increase the value of your contribution to others, either one or to a group of people. Number one is acceptance. The deepest need that human beings have is for unconditional acceptance from other people. And the way you express acceptance is you smile when you see people. You smile as though you're happy to see them. You smile as if they're old friends that you haven't seen for a long time. When you're running a meeting, when you're having a mastermind, when you meet people for the second time, always smile like there you are. And it makes people feel wonderful about themselves and wonderful about you. Now, the second A is appreciation. Always thank people for little things that they do. Thank them for getting you a cup of coffee. Thank them for giving you their business card. Thank them for giving you a piece of advice. Always say thank you. Whenever you say thank you to a person, you make them feel more important and valuable. And when you say thank you, you feel better as well. The third A is agreeability. And this is one of the most important things in human relations, is be agreeable. Is just be agreeable. Even if people say things that you don't necessarily agree with, say, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of that before. Never disagree. Always be agreeable. Be charming. Most cases, the issue is not that important anyway. If it's not life-shaking, if it's not life-altering, and especially in meetings, in front of other people, always be agreeable with people. You can always say, you know, I hadn't thought of it like that. I had always thought of it this way, or I'd always interpreted it this way. In other words, you don't argue. You just be agreeable, and you present, you have this point of view, but you don't ever attack another person's point of view, especially in front of other people. The fourth A, remember the first three are acceptance, appreciation, and agreeability. The fourth A is admiration. Is compliment people when you meet them. Compliment a man on his tie. Compliment on his suit. Compliment him on his shoes. Compliment him on his briefcase. With a woman, compliment her hair. Compliment her dress. Compliment her accessories. But always, if somebody does something in a meeting, compliment it. Say, that's a really good job. Or this is a beautiful presentation. Or this is very well laid out. In other words, whenever you compliment people, you raise their self-esteem. And you make them feel more important and valuable. And as a result, they like you and they respect you. And you know something? I've studied power and influence in organizations for years and years, and a person who may have no rank in an organization, may not be an expert at anything, may not be wealthy, can still be the most influential person in the organization because people like that person. In the management jargon, they call this ascribed power. There's always people in an organization or in a group that are the most powerful because people like them, not because they have the position or the money. And so one of the greatest things you can do is not only be a person of influence and persuasion and financial power, be the kind of person that people just really like, because they will open doors for you, they will help you, they will buy from you, they will forgive mistakes that you make, and so on. The fifth A is approval. And approval is when you praise other people. It's a little bit different from admiration. Admiration is where you admire a thing or a trait or a possession, but approval is where you give praise for an accomplishment. When a person accomplishes something, when you hear that a company has done well, you say, we heard that your company made this major deal or had great profits last year. Or when a person has been promoted, wow, you praise them for their promotion. Instead of being involved with yourself, get involved with them and look for reasons to give them genuine, honest praise. And finally, the last key and the key that enables you to dominate any networking meeting for the rest of your life is called attention. And in attention, what you do is you lean forward and you listen carefully to others when they speak without interrupting. When a person is speaking, you lean over, you face them directly, you smile, and you nod as though what they're saying is important. You hang on every word. And what we have found is that when a person is intensely listened to, their brain releases endorphins. And endorphins are called nature's happy drug. And they make a person feel happy that they're being so intensely listened to by an obviously nice and intelligent person like yourself. By the way, all six of these A's, you practice one-on-one. You meet a person, you smile when you meet them. You shake hands with them, and you thank them for their business card. You be agreeable. You admire something about them. You approve or praise some of their accomplishments. You listen closely when they talk and nod and smile so they feel happy, and they walk away saying, boy, he or she is really a nice person. And there's no better description you can have in the world of networking than for people to say that you are a really nice person. That's the kind of person that people want to see and see again and look forward to seeing at the meetings and want to be involved in their committees and want to come to their companies and be invited to their homes and everything else. Now, another way of networking is what we call networking via education. Many people have made an entire career of simply attending educational opportunities. What do? Is they will sign up for a seminar. In the seminar, you wear a large name tag with your name and your company on it. And while you're there, you introduce yourself to people and you ask them pretty simple questions. How do you like the seminar? Are you getting anything out of this seminar? Have you been to seminars like this before? Just at the coffee breaks and casually, you'll find that people who attend seminars and educational opportunities are some of the top people in every society, every organization. Ask questions, ask them what they do, how long they've been here, ask what they're going to do with this kind of information. There's other ways that you can take educational opportunities, and those are community college courses. Sometimes community colleges have courses, sometimes departments of extension at universities have courses, and the people who go to these courses are some of the best people you'll ever meet. So when you do go to these courses, don't sit in the back and take notes and go home. Go early. Introduce yourself to people, ask them questions about themselves, ask for their business cards, write their names down, memorize them so you remember them when you see them again. And sometimes you meet one person taking one course at one community college that will become a friend or a colleague for the rest of your career. So here's your networking strategy for the next 5 years. This is what's going to make you happy and rich, is select the top 100 people in your community, the people that you would like to know and who you would like to know you. And the way you do that is you just begin reading the newspaper. In the newspaper, they'll be mentioned in the social columns, especially Sunday, where they show all the different parties where people attended in black tie and dresses. And start to make notes. Make notes of who they are. Make notes of what they do. Make notes of the associations they belong to. You may end up with 150 names over the course of a year or so, but set it as a goal to get 100 names of key people in your society. And just keep your eye out, and whenever you see an article or a clipping or a story that involves them, highlight the name, cut the clipping out, and put it into a file. Create 100 files. It's almost like you're doing specialty research. And then resolve to get to know each of these people one way or another. The first thing you do is when there's some announcement about them or for them in the press, you send them a letter saying, congratulations on your success. Or, I read about your situation in the press today. I hope everything works out well. I've always been a great admirer of you and your organization, and I wish you the very best of success. Very simple article, very simple note, very simple letter, just something. And sometimes you can send along a clipping of a newspaper article. Sometimes you can send along a book or a booklet or a poem or something else. Just a little gesture that comes out of the blue. Whenever you are in the community and you're talking about people and their name comes up, mention that person's name and say, that is somebody I admire very much. That person really makes a great contribution to our community. Always talk about the kind of people you want to meet as though they were exceptional people. And surprise, surprise, it gets back to them. It gets back to them that there's somebody out there speaking highly of them. And they start to become curious. I wonder who it is. I had a good friend who became one of the most successful salespeople in his industry because when he picked a person that he wanted to sell to, a senior level executive, on every occasion, he would tell other people how much he admired that person. And a week, a month, a year would go by, and the office would get a call. This person had heard that he or she had been out there talking about him and wondered if he wanted to join him for a cup of coffee or lunch. And it led to business after business after business. Find out the organizations that these people belong to and join them yourselves. For example, here in San Diego, there's the Opera Association. What does it cost to become a member of the Opera Association? You can send a $50 donation. $50 donation puts you on every mailing list, gets you invitations to every singer that comes to town, gives you opportunities to attend receptions with people, and always go to the meetings. And who do you think you meet at the receptions prior? You meet some of the most important people in your community. What does it cost? A few dollars to join the organization and get plugged in. And when you do this, go and volunteer. Respond to their emails. Read their newsletters. And in the newsletters, they'll mention other people who are important, who are also members and supporters, and send them a letter and put them on your list and so on. Make a decision over the next 5 years that you are going to identify and meet 100 of the most important people in your community. I can promise you this, it will save you 10 to 20 years of hard work. It will make you one of the most influential and persuasive people in your community. It will make you one of the most respected and esteemed people. You'll be invited to join organizations and associations. You'll be invited to serve on committees and boards. You'll be invited to take on assignments. You'll be hired. You'll be bought from. You'll be recommended and referred to other people if you just use this 100-person strategy. Remember, in life, it's not only the people you know that counts. It's the people who know you and think of you in a positive way. And this is totally under your control. Sometimes just one person at the right time and place can change the direction of your life, and you never know which person that person is going to be. So make a decision to continually broaden your contacts throughout your life. The payoff will be tremendous. Make a decision today to become an excellent networker and continue doing it for the rest of your career. Now, I'd like to give you a free gift as a way of saying thank you for being a loyal supporter of mine and a determined continuous learner. So find out what I've been working on lately and receive your special at www.briantracy.com/learner. That's www.briantracy.com/learner. Just go there right now and see what I've got for you. Thanks again for listening. I look forward to talking to you and maybe even seeing you soon.